Traditional news organizations pride themselves for upholding clear divisions between their business and editorial operations. The partition is often reflected in the floor plans and the culture of print and broadcast facilities, and preserved with a piety rarely seen in the skeptical journalist crowd. That attitude may be precisely why the news industry is in trouble, writes Dorian Ben Coyle. Dorian is editorial director at TeemingMedia.com, a regular word-of-mouth guest and a frequent contributor to PBS's Media Shift, where he really stirred up a storm by suggesting that those who make the product could benefit the bottom line by understanding how it is sold. Dorian, thanks for picking up with us today.
You're welcome. It's good to speak with you again, Virginia. How are you?
I'm very well, but you really kicked up some dust here. Is this your Mr. Tradition tear down the wall moment?
Well, I don't know that it quite has the significance of the Ronald Reagan quote you're alluding to, but it definitely did kick up a storm, as you say, and, you know, a certain kind of storm that we can't say on the radio. I can't think of, well, first of all, you alluded to the fact that the news industry is in trouble, and one of the reasons it may be in trouble is because a lot of journalists were either woefully ignorant or downright hostile to the things that make them money. This is a for-profit business, and I can't think of another for-profit business where the people who make the product that makes the money are willfully ignorant of how it makes money and even, you know, don't want to know about it sometimes, which is the fundamental issue that I was trying to address with a lot of nuance and branches off of that.
Well, I think a lot of us were sort of came up in the world of journalism where that division was sacred, that we weren't like any other business, that journalism was upholding the public trust, and therefore, you know, if you get the king's money or the king's man, we just didn't want to know anything about it. Is there a sort of anti-money culture inside of journalism? Do we hate it?
Well, first off, let me somewhat try to poke at least a little bit of a hole or soften the premise of your question, because I think that kind of sense of sacredness did not necessarily hold in a lot of places. There were a lot of tabloid journalism. There's a lot of tabloid journalism and a lot of, frankly, broadcast journalism where people knew that they had to write a story in a certain way or portray things in a headline or do certain things to make the story enticing for users, and they may not have drawn the direct link with money, well, you know, what we used to call viewers or readers, right?
Right.
They may not have drawn the direct link for money, but they were definitely trying to attract people to look at the you know, what I, as you know, as I put in the piece, the product, in
mm-hmm.
quote.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they there were, frankly speaking, times when local newspapers were told, editorial desks were told, you know, actually, we'd like you to do a piece on this car dealership, or maybe you shouldn't say that about that chain of movie theaters. So it's not as if things were all pure and completely separate in this previous era. I mean, it's not as if even the New York Times, why does the New York Times have an auto section mm-hmm. or a travel section? It's not because people demanded that their travel news be put in some separate section. It's because they want to be able to package and aggregate travel news and information and sell ads around it. They want to be able to package news and information around other topics like real estate and sell ads around it. So you know, I want to point out that this is not quite the pure sacred atmosphere before the internet era as well.
Right. So it used to be about selling papers, drawing in viewers, but now it's being pointed out that there's a danger here, and people have hoisted their pitchforks already, you know, of aiming for things that make money, for page views or link bait. Doesn't that have to influence story choices in some way?
It can.
Let me ask you this, Dorian. Maybe this is a better question. How do we ensure that it doesn't without this kind of idea of division?
The way you ensure it is, I would say, by a very strong editorial vision, by saying, this is our vision, this is how we're going to execute it, these are our preeminent values, and these are the lines we cannot and will not cross. Unfortunately, I can't say for this website or this editorial product that this is exactly where the line is going to be. For example, Gawker.com, which you and I have talked a little bit about before, has one set of core editorial principles. TMZ.com has some editorial principles. The New York Times.com has a different set. Each of those has their own lines, and those lines have to be maintained. And there just has to be a sixth sense that can be written into editorial principles and rules that neither the sales side nor the editorial side will cross.
A lot of controversy, of course, as we mentioned before, so among those who have picked up your article, the Nieman Lab, Media Gazer, FAIR. FAIR, in fact, picks up on one segment entitled, If Sales Influences Editorial, It's Okay. So when is it okay, Dorian?
It's okay, for example, if the example I give in the piece is that at PBS Media Shift, we've at sometimes had an editorial calendar planned, and we said we're going to do a segment on, let's say, a certain kind of education and journalism or a certain kind of use of technology in media. Now, if we get a sponsor that says, I'd love to sponsor that section and be affiliated with that content, what is the harm? If we had planned that segment for, let's say, the third week of March and we get a sponsor that their campaign starts in April, if there's no abiding editorial reason to have launched it in March, we just did that sort of for, you know, logistical and staffing reasons that had nothing to do with the editorial. What's the harm in moving it to April to accommodate the sponsor? Or if the sponsor says, you know, you were going to do it for a week, is there any possibility you could do it for 2 weeks? Well, that's kind of a win-win because we're able to run more stories and the sponsor is able to have more affiliation, able to earn more revenue, which supports the stories. So that's the kind of thing I'm talking about, where it's, you know, your core principle is preserved, but you're able to also hold the commercial idea in your head without bastardizing the editorial process.
Well, Dorian, again, thanks so much for picking up with us today. Appreciate it.
Likewise, Virginia.
Dorian Bencoil, editorial director at TeamingMedia.com and a frequent contributor to PBS's Media Shift. And we posted a link to his provocative article about tearing down the wall between business and editorial. He also wrote about some of the ways that those on the business side could better understand the newsroom and some of the reactions to it. It's all at wordofmouthradio.org. So stay with us for a snapshot of the global network of old school film buffs after the BBC News when Word of Mouth continues.